Cassette 8, Side 2.
Chapter 56. Sout. When Jillian called to ask that he talk to Crydike, his first thought had been to rebel over the workload.
I know, her tiny simulacrum had agreed. But you're the only one I can spare who has the qualifications. Let's rephrase that. You are the only one for the job. Crydike is clearly aware and alert, but he can't talk. We need someone to help him communicate through parts of his brain that weren't damaged. You're our expert.
Stout had never really liked Crydike, and the type of injury the captain had suffered made Stout feel queasy. Still, the challenge appealed to his vanity.
What about Charles Start? He's been driving Toshio and me until our flukes droop, and he has top priority on this line.
In the small holo image, Jillian looked very tired.
Not anymore, he doesn't. We're sending out a new probe with Dakota Jim and Metz, one he'll be able to control himself by comlink. Until then, his project takes last place. Last place. Is that understood?
Sal clapped his jaw loudly in assent. It felt good to hear decisive leadership again. The fact that the voice was that of a human he respected helped, too.
This bit about Metz and Takata Jim. I've filled in Toshio, Jillian said. He'll brief you when the chance comes. He is in absolute charge now. You're to obey him with alacrity. Is that clear?
Jillian never lost her vocabulary under pressure. Stout liked that.
Yes, eminently. Now, about these resonances I'm getting from the planet's crust. What shall I do? They are, to my knowledge, totally unprecedented. Can you spare someone to do a library search for me?
Jillian frowned.
You say resonances of apparent intelligent origin are coming from deep in Kithrop's crust? Exactly.
Jillian rolled her eyes.
Ifni, to explore this world in peace and quiet would demand a decade of work by a dozen survey ships.
She shook her head.
No, my quick guess is that some formation of probability-sensitive rock below the surface is resonating with emanations from the battle overhead. In any event, it comes after the other priorities, security, the Kikwi, and talking to Crydike. You've got a mouthful to deal with already.
Stout stifled a protest. Complaining would only get Jillian to order him explicitly away from the probe. She hadn't yet, so it would be best to stay quiet.
Now think about your options, Jillian reminded him. If Streaker makes a break for it, we'll try to get the skiff out to pick up Tom and whoever wants to join us from the island. You can choose to come along, or stay with Metz and Takata Jim and wait it out in the longboat. Inform Toshio of your decision.
I understand. I'll think about it.
Somehow the issue seemed less urgent than it would have a few days ago. The sounds from below were having an effect on him.
If I stay, I still wish you all the best of luck, he added.
You too, Melfin, Jillian smiled. You're a strange duck, but if I get home, I'm going to recommend you get lots of grandchildren.
Her image vanished as she broke the connection. Sout stared at the blank screen. The compliment, wholly unexpected, left him momentarily stunned. Then a few Kikwi, who were foraging nearby, were surprised to see a large dolphin rise up onto his tail and dance about the small pool.
To be noticed by a humpback, to be credited at last for being me.
Chapter 57. Denny and Toshio.
I'm afraid.
Almost without a thought, Toshio put his arm around Denny's shoulder. He gave her a reassuring squeeze.
What for? There's nothing to be scared of.
Denny looked up from the pounding breakers to see if he was serious. Then she realized she was being teased. She stuck out her tongue at him. Toshio inhaled deeply and was content. It wasn't clear to him where his new relationship with Denny was going. It wasn't physical, for one thing. They had slept together last night, but fully clothed. Toshio had thought it would be frustrating, and it was, sort of, but not as much as he had expected. It would work out one way or another. Right now, Denny needed someone to be nearby. It was satisfying just filling that need. Maybe, when all this was over, she would go back to thinking of him as a boy, 4 years her junior. Somehow he doubted it. She was touching him more now, rather than less, holding his arm and punching him in mock anger, even as memories from the Psi Bomb episode faded.
When are they supposed to get here with the longboat?
She looked back over the ocean once more. Late tomorrow sometime, he answered.
Takata, Jim, and Metz wanted to negotiate with the ETs. What's to stop them if they decide to ignore orders and try anyway?
Jillian's giving them only enough power to get here. They have a regenerator, so they'll be able to charge up for space travel in a month or so. By then, Straker'd be gone one way or another.
Denny shivered. Toshio cursed his awkward tongue.
Takata, Jim, won't have a radio. I'm to guard ours until the skiff comes to pick us up. Besides, what could he offer the Galactics? He won't have any of the charts marking the derelict fleet.
My guess is he and Metz will wait until everybody leaves, then scuttle off to Earth with Metz's tapes and a hold full of gripes.
Then he looked up at the first stars of the long Kithrop twilight.
Are you going back? She asked.
Streaker's my ship. Thank God Krydike is still alive, but even if he's not skipper anymore, I owe it to him to keep on, as one of his officers should.
Denny glanced up at him briefly, then nodded and looked back out at the sea.
She's thinking we haven't a chance, Toshio realized. And maybe we don't. Wearing a feminine battle wagon as a disguise, we'll have all the maneuverability of a Calathian mud cleaner. And even fooling the Galactics might not be so good an idea. They want to capture Streaker, but they won't hold back their fire if they see a defeated enemy climbing back up for another round. There still have to be Thenanin around if this scheme is to work. But we can't just sit here waiting, can we? If we do, the Galactics will learn that they can push Earthlings around. We just can't afford to let anyone profit from chasing one of our survey ships.
Toshio changed the subject.
How's your report coming?
Oh, all right, I guess. It's clear the Kikwi are fully presentient. They've been fallow a very long time. In fact, some Darwinist heretics might think they were just getting ripe to bootstrap themselves. They show signs.
Some iconoclast humans still pushed the idea that a pre-sentient race could make the leap to spacefaring intelligence by evolution alone, without the intervention of a patron. Most Galactics thought the idea absurd and strange, but the failure to find humanity's missing benefactor had regained the theory a few adherents.
What about the Metal Mound?
Toshio asked about Denny's other research, begun at Charlie Dart's behest when the chimp had been given top priority, but pursued now out of interest. Denny shrugged.
Oh, the mound's alive. The professional biologist in me would give her left arm to be able to stay a year on this island with full laboratory equipment. The metal-eating pseudo-coral, the drill tree, the living core of the island, are all symbionts. In effect, they're organs in one giant entity. If I could only write it up at home, I'd be famous if anyone believed me.
They'll believe you, Toshio assured her. And you'll be famous.
He motioned that they should start heading back to camp. They only had a little time after second supper to walk and talk. Now that he was in command, he had to make sure that timetables were kept.